Gotcha. Hey, man. Worship with this youth choir. They love this song. You worship with them the last time they sing it. It's still the same song. It's still the same message. Worship with them. Get behind them. And you never know. You give a little bit of worship to God, He's going to bless you for it. Amen.
Shout to thank you.
Amen, 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 amen. And the scripture said that his mercy endures forever. Amen. Praise God. There is no depth to the mercies of God. Amen. And you are most like Jesus Christ when you emulate mercy. Somebody one time said that mercy is the scent of the rose on the heel of the one who crushed it. Mercy is the scent of the rose on the heel of the one who crushed it. That's the beauty of mercy. Mercy is never deserved. It's always simply given. Amen. And you and I have been recipients tonight of mercy, and it behooves us tonight to be merciful, always merciful. Anytime God is given an option, he'll have mercy. I said anytime God is given an option, he'll have mercy. God only sends judgment when mercy has been depleted and someone has shut the door on mercy. And each one of us here tonight needs to practice mercy, because all of us need mercy every day. God have mercy on you if you judge others harshly when you have been a recipient of God's grace and mercy time after 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 time. And you can sit in judgment on somebody else and point your undeserving finger in their face and say, you don't deserve a chance. God have mercy on you. Amen. He's a just God, but he's a merciful God. God's desire is to save. It's never to destroy. Amen. I read in the Bible, it said God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That is the stated will of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. I feel a wonderful, merciful spirit here tonight. There is a restoring presence in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. God is reaching out with such compassion, such love, and such mercy to somebody here tonight. He wants you to know that he loves you, and he's ready to let you have another chance. He wants to have mercy tonight. Amen. Praise God. Amen. It's going to be a busy week, but it's going to be a good one. Amen. Remember, preachers, Preachers Academy, 9 o'clock on Saturday morning. Brown Bag Bible School starts at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And everybody's welcome to that. There will be a wedding this Saturday at 4 o'clock. Lacey Eves
grew up in this church, and Sister Beverly Eves was here when I was here many years ago, and so we're looking forward to that. That'll be, everybody's invited. They wanted to be sure and let you know. They invite you, and if you can possibly come and share the happiness of this day, please do. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. And now, on the 25th and the 26th, that's a Saturday and Sunday, we're going to have revival. Now, hear me. We don't have time to play around. We don't have 5 or 6 days to coast into it. We need to hit it with a bang. You know what I've discovered lately about most revivals? Amen. We just kind of coast from Wednesday to the weekend anyhow. A few will show up on Wednesday, and then half will miss on Thursday. Maybe a few others will show up that didn't come Wednesday. And then Friday, maybe one or two will come that didn't come another night. And then by the time the weekend gets there, everybody finally gets in the attitude of revival. So why don't we just hit it on Saturday night with everything we got? Amen. Invite people that need the Lord. So just Saturday and Sunday morning and Sunday night, we're going to have revival. Brother Chris Calk from Life Tabernacle, Houston, Texas, is going to be our evangelist. Amen. Brother Chester, do you know Brother Chris Calk? Thought you might. Amen. So we're looking forward to Brother Calk being here. He will be a blessing. Amen. So let's expect great things. Amen. I think often about the little boy. He was a preacher's kid. In that particular church, they had the tithing was put in a box on the back wall. And he'd watch his daddy get the key and unlock that box, take the tithing out. And the little boy watched him do that service after service. He finally said, Daddy, he said, I know how you can get more out of that. And of course, he was interested. He said, How, son? He said, Put more in it. Come on, man. Amen. Let me tell you how to get more out of church. Put more in it. Amen. Make up your mind when you come to church. It's not just another Sunday night service or Wednesday night service or a prayer meeting service. Amen. But hey, it might be my last. Amen. I got to give it everything that I got. Hallelujah. Because only the Lord knows whether I'll have another opportunity or not. Amen. Praise the Lord. Didn't we have a great time last night? That was so good. Thank you for your cooperation. I want to say again, thank you for everybody that worked so hard. A lot of hard work. It was hot. Now it was hot. It was hot in the building. It was hot outside. It was hot everywhere we went. Amen. It was hot in the Holy Ghost. It was hot everywhere. Amen. But we had a great time. Thank you so much for being a part of it. That's just the beginning of good things. We're going to do some more of that. And we're going to have a great, great time. Amen. Pastor from the Lone Star Baptist Church, we enjoyed them being here with us. Amen. He said, Brother, said, I want you to know. He said, real soon, said, we're going to have a tent revival. He said, I want you to come preach. Amen. Praise God. So here we go again. Amen. Praise the Lord. We don't watch out. We're going to wind up watching a bunch of folks get the Holy Ghost over there. Will that be all right? Amen. I believe it. Praise God. Amen. All right. Let's go tonight to the book of Ephesians, to the 2nd chapter and the 10th verse. The scripture said, For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We are his workmanship. The Greek word is poema. Some translations it is translated masterpiece. I like that translation. You are his masterpiece. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to preach tonight about the tragedy of an unfinished masterpiece. Tragedy of an unfinished masterpiece. The Lord bless, and you may be seated. How can a work be called a masterpiece if it's unfinished? I think it has to do, first of all, with who's doing it. Brother Holly used to say that the quality of workmanship is the signature of every workman. The quality of craftsmanship is the signature of every craftsman. When you do a job, you need to do it the best you can, because somebody's going to say, who did that? And I don't know about you, when I do something and somebody says, who did that? And they say, well, Grissom did that. I want somebody to say, well, he did a good job. Amen. If you don't do that and you don't do the best you can, now, I can't always do the best, but I can do the best I can. I don't know how to do everything well, but I sure give it a shot, and I'll do the best I can while I'm doing it. Amen. I don't want it to be shoddy. Amen. I want it to look the very best that it can, because when somebody says, who did it? My name's on that. And let me tell you something tonight. Jesus wants you to be good, and he wants you to be a masterpiece, because he put his name on you. You wear the name of Jesus Christ tonight, and so he wants to work in your life to bring about the very best that you can be, because you represent Jesus in this world. Amen. Hey, we're not just living for ourselves, Brother Hart. Amen. We can't do like Frank did and just say, I'll have it my way. We got to say it's his way, because he is the master of my life. I represent him, and I want him to be glorified in my life. So it's important tonight that you and I let him work in us to accomplish the goal that he has set out to accomplish for us. 2 weeks ago, we were in Florence, Italy. Florence is Michelangelo's town. We went to the Uffizi Museum. It contains some of the most well-known masterpieces in the world. Rooms, and it's a huge, huge, huge three-story edifice. And it's full of some of the most ancient and some of the best known paintings in all of the world. Michelangelo's paintings, some of them are there. Rembrandt, some of his paintings are there. Leonardo da Vinci, some of his paintings are there. The great masters of the Byzantine time and of the Renaissance, their works are there. It's quite astounding to see paintings that are 500, 600, and 700 years old. And still there. Still there. Amen. Somebody one day sit down to paint a painting. I'm sure many of them had no idea that they'd be touching generations, hundreds of years later. Amen. You don't know what your life's going to touch tonight. You don't know whom you're going to touch tonight. You don't know how far-reaching your influence may be tonight. But in the city of Florence, there is a very interesting museum, one called the Accademia. Accademia contains the most well-known and the most photographed statue in all of time, in all of history. David is there. Michelangelo's statue of David is, I guess it's the standard of all statuary. Anybody that does a statue, that's, if they could do it as well as David was done, and that would just be the epitome of it all. Michelangelo attempted 44 statues. He only finished 14. So there is a museum in Florence of his unfinished works. Some of them are just hands. Some of them are feet. Some of them are arms. They're just different parts of things that he started, and for one reason or another, he couldn't complete what he started out to do. I think it would be a travesty tonight that if God starts a work in you, and for some reason you won't let him finish the work. Sometimes the work has to stop because the material itself is not up to the task. There are times when the artist starts out and the sculptor and he wants to make one kind of an image and he winds up having to do something different simply because the material will not allow him to make the masterpiece that he had in his mind. God, help me not to be such a person that you'll have to alter and make an inferior product of what you really wanted to do with me. What you really wanted my life to become. But you have to do something less because I won't give you more. So sometimes masterpieces are affected simply because of the materials that the master is working with. I think one of the most challenging words in the English language is potential. We mean that as a compliment when we talk about it and said, my, they have such great potential. But potential is both a blessing or a curse. Amen. Let me tell you what potential is. Potential is when you're driving a Ferrari 30 miles an hour. I'd say that's a waste, almost a shame. It was not made to do 30 miles an hour. It was made to fly. It was made to scream. It was made to go. That's why they made a Ferrari. If you want just to do 30, get you a Volkswagen. They'll do 30 really well. Or maybe a moped. Amen. But it's an insult. Because the potential is there to do so much more. Amen. Praise God. That's what potential is. It means that latent somewhere there is the ability to be so much more and to do so much more. And when that potential is not being realized, it's a travesty. And you know what I've discovered in my little short life? Is that there's a whole lot of people that have a lot of potential that are not living up to it. I have met some of the most talented people that are not using even a small portion of their talent. Jesus taught us a little lesson about that, didn't he? He taught us about some people that received talents. One received one. One received two. One received five. The one that had five increased his by five. The one that received two increased his by two more. And the one that received one just hid it away. So many people I hear say, I don't have any talent, I can't do anything. Quit feeling sorry for yourself. You are God's masterpiece. He made you who you are. He made you what you are. And He can take your life, all of its insufficiencies, and He can do great things with you. And He has a plan to do that tonight. Don't make excuses and hide your talents. Use your potential. I've known other people that didn't have as much potential, but I'm telling you, friend, they put it to work. And you talk about growing, my, you wouldn't have recognized them in a little while. Hallelujah. They just gave it to God, and God blessed them and used them in great ways. Amen. So potential is there. I don't know. There's something so tragic about an unfinished work. I used to ride by a house in South Texas, and every time I went by there, it just saddened me. I always got a little heaviness in my spirit. It was a large house, but it was going so well. Thank you, sir. And, I mean, things were going good, and you could tell that somebody started out to build a beautiful home, but you could still see the studs of the walls exposed to time and the elements. The floors were warped and had begun to rot away. Some of the ceiling and the roof of the house was just weathering away. And you drive by there and you couldn't help but think, what happened? What happened? Somebody had a dream. Somebody had a plan. Somebody started so well. And then it fell into ruin. Jesus mentions that in the book of Luke chapter 14. He said, for which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he will have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he laid the foundation and is not able to finish it all, that behold, it began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Amen. Let me tell you something tonight. You started out on a spiritual journey and you need to finish your journey. Amen. Hallelujah. There's no place to stop. There's no place to quit. There's no place to give up. And if you do, you will be mocked. People will say, well, I thought you were a Christian. And there will be some mockery that will come your way. Hey, you got to finish what you start. You know what's going to be the worst thing in hell? It's not going to be the flames, as bad as that is. It's not going to be the hopelessness, as bad as that is. It's going to be that mockery that's going to ring down through history, knowing that I did not have to be here. Sermons are going to ring through hell. Songs are going to ring through hell. And it's going to be over and over and over again. I did not have to come here. I started a journey and I didn't finish what I started. Travesty to begin a good work and not finish what you started to do. Somehow, we got to make it. I'm going to tell you how in just a minute. I read an interesting story. Have you ever heard of the Winchester House, San Jose, California? It's an interesting place. It was built, actually. It never was finished. The house was started by Sarah Winchester. Sarah Winchester was the widow of William Wirt Winchester, who invented the repeating Winchester rifle. And he became, in his day, a multi-millionaire. And he died young in his life and left his fortune to his widow. She received in that time $20.5 million, which today would be more like $70 million. Plus 50% of the company was put into her possession. And she was making about $1,000 a day. And that was before they even had income taxes. It would be like getting $21,003 today. I mean, she was sitting pretty high. But she was haunted. And so she sought out a psychic. If you get in trouble, please don't go to a psychic. I'll do my best to help him. The Lord will help you. Amen. But she sought out a psychic, and the psychic said, ooh, what I feel here is the spirits of thousands of people that this rifle has killed. What you need to do is you need to go somewhere out west and build a house and said as long as you live in that house with the spirits of all of the thousands of people that the Winchester rifle has killed, then you'll live forever as long as you keep building. Isn't it amazing how smart rich people can be so dumb? But she got on that train and went west, found San Jose, bought 162 acres, and started building. Hey, I'm not talking about just building. She built for 38 years, and they worked 24 hours a day, 364 and one-fourth days a year. They never stopped building for 38 years. Yeah, that was a good job. If you didn't ever want any days off, it was a good job. Amen. I mean, it had 160 rooms, 40 bedrooms, 2 ballrooms, 47 fireplaces, 10,000 window panes, 17 chimneys, 2 basements and 3 elevators. At one time it was 7 stories, now it's only 4. It had golden and silver chandeliers and inlaid parquet floors and trim, and had doors and stairways that went nowhere. You can just start walking upstairs and it just goes up to the ceiling and comes right back down. There are some doors you open and it just don't go anywhere. It's just a door. Every day she got up and she told people what to build. 38 years of building, 24 hours a day. Sound of hammer never stopped. Sound of saws never stopped. Day and night, working, building, 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 building. And finally she died. And the day she died, the hammer stopped, the saw ceased. And the house stood as a mockery. An unfinished house. An unfinished house. 160 rooms, but it's unfinished. Because there was never a plan. It was just build, 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 build. I know people today, and their theme for life is just get. Give me. Get. More. And you're never satisfied. More stuff. More toys. More things. Bigger houses. Better cars. Fancier clothes. Better food. Get. Do. Go. But no plan for your life. An unfinished masterpiece. A masterpiece in peril, simply because there's no plan. There's no plan. I want to introduce you today to a finisher. Amen. I know somebody that stood out when there was nothing beside himself and started talking. And he said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Amen. I know somebody that worked for 6 days, and every day when he got through working, there was something good that was finished. I'm telling you, friend, when he separated the waters above from the waters beneath, and he cleared the old earth, it was good. And whenever he said, "Let there be grass, and let there be trees, and let there be flowers," amen, "let there be vegetation," and the earth was carpeted with beauty, amen, and it was finished. And we're still enjoying it today, 6,000 years later. Amen. When he drew a line to the sea and he said, "Waves, you can come this far," and you stop and you turn around and you go back, and you can walk down to the seashore today and the tides still obey his voice. He's a finisher. Amen. Hallelujah. And he worked 6 days and it was finished. God is a finisher. He's not a quitter. Amen. He always finishes what he starts. God told the representative or the king of Israel, he after 70 years in Babylon or the captivity, he said, "Zerubbabel," he said, "go home and I want you to rebuild the temple." He went home. They started well. In 17 years, they didn't finish. People started laughing and mocking and said, "It'll never get done." You know why it didn't get done? This is another message all by itself. The reason it didn't get done is because people began to ignore the house of God and take care of their own house. Yeah, that's what Haggai said. He said, you make money and it's like putting it in a bag with holes in it. He said, when you get through, you don't have any more than you did when you started. And God said, you know why that is? Because you are ignoring my house. You're going about taking care of your business and you're ignoring what I told you to do. And as long as you do that, your money's going to be like a bag with holes in it. He said, but if you'll start putting my house first and you'll take care of what I told you to do first, he said, I will see that blessing comes your way and I'll see that you're taken care of and you prosper. Amen. And God sent some helpers, amen, to Zerubbabel. Amen. The Bible's in the, here's the prophecy. It said the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. For thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. And you know what? They finished it. Sometimes all you need is just a little bit of help. Somebody lift up your hands. Somebody to stand shoulder to shoulder with you. Somebody to encourage you. Somebody to lay their hand to labor and say, let's get it done, brother. I'm going to help you. You don't have to do it all by yourself. I've come here to make it happen. Hallelujah. Nobody builds a church by themselves. No preacher's good enough to build a church by himself. It's not built on oratory. It's not built on music. Amen. But the Bible said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Hear me tonight. We're not trying to build a church for the United Pentecostal Church. We're not trying to build a church for Johnny Grissom. We're not trying to build a church for any other personage. But we want Jesus at the center of everything that is done here. And we want you to know, Lord, this is your house. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. We don't want an unfinished masterpiece. We don't want to just build a structure people can come by and look at. I can't tell you how many old churches I saw. I stood in churches, Brother Hart, that were more than 1,000 years old. And some of those churches, it took more than 500 years just to build them. And they're big. They're intricate. They're fascinating. But you know what? They're cold. And they're, when you get inside, you don't, all you feel is history. And I don't want to feel history. I want to feel the future. Hallelujah. I want to feel the future. I want to be like that little lady. She was on a tour, and they were in one of the great tabernacles, or great basilicas, and he was talking about all the structure, how long it took to build it, how old it was, and how costly it was, and all of the great statesmen that were buried. Can you believe people were buried in the floor of the church? You're walking around on people, dead people. That's what the floor is. It's dead people. And all these famous people are buried in there. And they're telling the story of all this stuff. And finally the tour guide says, anybody got any questions? And little lady raises her hand and she said, sir, could you tell me? She said, has anybody been saved here lately? Hey, this is a church. And if it's a church, the question is, has anybody been saved here lately? Has anybody been baptized here lately? Has anybody received the baptism of the Holy Ghost here lately? Has anybody been healed here lately? That's what the church is all about. It's not about history. It's not about beauty. It's not about architecture. It's about salvation. Amen. Anybody been saved here lately? But I'm talking tonight about the finisher. Amen. He said, I'm going to send you somebody to help you as a rebel. We're going to get this done. And they got it done. Hallelujah. Amen. And they finished the house. Praise God. The last words Jesus said from the cross were, it is finished. Hallelujah. It is finished. Amen. There's not any more blood that can be shed. There's no more price that can be paid. There's nothing else that can be done. Everything that can be done to save you tonight has already been done. if the blood of Jesus Christ is not enough for you, then you'll just have to be lost. If His Holy Spirit is not enough for you, then you'll just have to be lost. If His mercy and forgiveness are not enough for you, then you'll just have to be lost. Because it's finished. He gave everything He had to give. He withheld nothing. And it's finished. God's salvation plan is finished. Hallelujah. Hear me, Brother Ferguson, tonight we don't have to add anything to this. Amen. I think the Holy Ghost is enough, don't you? And you got any witnesses here tonight that's got the Holy Ghost? Is that enough? Amen. Do you need something else besides that? If that's not enough, I don't know what is. Woo, hallelujah. Hey, when you get down on your knees and you repent at an altar and God forgives your sins and you go to a baptismal tank and you wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord, and they're stricken out of the record of God's book in heaven, what more could you ask for? And when God fills you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost and you are transformed into a new creature, hallelujah, and God's Holy Spirit lives in you, and you become an eternal being. Is that not enough? I'm telling you, when God does it, it's finished, friend. Amen. If you got the Holy Ghost, you've been baptized in Jesus' name, amen, and you're waiting for more, it ain't coming. You just need to learn to live and enjoy what you got. Some of you putting around 15 miles an hour in a Ferrari. Never got out of first gear. Amen, it's time to punch the pedal. Find out what that little buddy will do. Amen. It'll set you back in the seat. Amen. Hang on. Sometimes I think, I feel this way sometimes. I feel like the Lord's telling us sometimes what the guy said when he offered somebody a ride. He said, get in, sit down, buckle up, shut up, and hang on. Amen. Sometimes I think the Lord's trying to tell His church it's time to get in. Hallelujah. Amen. It's time to sit down. It's time to buckle up. It's time to hang on, because we're getting ready to go somewhere in the Holy Ghost. Amen. God has some things that He wants to do around here. I want to be a part of it. How about you? Hallelujah. It's finished. John said, I saw new heavens and a new earth. And guess what? They were finished. They were finished. They were awesome. They were beautiful. And I like that song. Remember the song Joel Hemphill wrote? It said, He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took Him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth, and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient He must be, 'cause He's still working on me. Amen. Praise God, He's still working on us. Somebody said this, and I've given it some thought, and I think they're right. They said that man is the only wild animal. A lion is a lion. It does what a lion's supposed to do. He's not wild. That's what lions do. Isn't that right? A hyena does what hyenas do. That's what they're made to do. Everything in the world, it just does what it's supposed to do. We're the only one that's wild. We're the only one that's not doing what God created us to do. We're the one that went wacky on Him. Amen. We're the one that got off course. Everything else is doing what it's supposed to do. Amen. Praise God. But He's still working on us tonight. I love what the Apostle Paul said to the Philippian church. He said, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Mother Heart, he's still working on us. Anybody need a little work here? Hey, man, I don't need a valve job. I need a heart job. Hey, man, I need him to work on some stuff in my life. And if you don't think he does, come talk to me. I'll point out a few things. That's right. Thank you for smiling. I didn't want you to take me too serious there. Hey, man, but every one of us tonight, we got some areas where we need a little work. And we get some attitudes that need to be worked on. We get some spirits that need to be worked on. Yeah, we do. Amen. Praise God. Why is it that when somebody else gets upset, it's nerves, and if I get upset, it's because I'm mad? Huh? Oh, it's just my nerves, brother. No, it's because you're upset. You're angry. You're mad, just like I am. You lost your temper, just like I do. It's not just nerves. Amen. Why is it when somebody else's kid is cutting up and you just want to get a hold of them and snatch them bald-headed and you see that brat, why don't you do something with him? But if your kid does it, it's just he's high-strung. All of us, we got some things that need working on. And he's still working on us. Hey, that's why you need to come to church so he can do a little work on you. Amen. Praise God. He's still working on us. He wants to finish what he started and finish the good work. Amen. Colossians said it this way, "For in him dwelleth all fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him." All you need is Jesus. More and more and more and more Jesus. You know what's going to make you happy? More of him. How many people have said, if I just had this, I'd be happy. If I could just get my bills paid, I'd be happy. You get one car paid off and go buy another one. Or maybe don't even get it paid off and go buy another one. And you see what I'm saying? And we just keep digging a little deeper, don't we? Amen. If I had this, I'd be happy. If I had that, I'd be happy. If I had that, I'd be happy. When are we ever going to learn happiness is not stuff? Happiness is him. The Bible said you are complete in him. He's the only one that can satisfy your soul. Nothing else. No one else. Simply Jesus Christ. Amen. And in closing, John said this. He said, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." Isn't that wonderful? Hey, it's great to be called a son of God. Amen. He said, "My, what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." They don't know how great you are. They'll never appreciate you, because they never knew him. And they never appreciated the Lord. Now, he said, "Beloved," now like this, it's one thing to be called the Son of God. It's another thing to be a Son of God. He said, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God." Not just called, but we actually are the sons of God. That's a different thing altogether. "And it doth not yet appear what we shall be." Amen. You're not looking at the finished product here tonight. Amen. Be like the young preacher is preaching a funeral, and one of his first ones is trying to get a good analogy. And he was trying to express what had happened. And so he got this brilliant analogy. He said, "What you're seeing here today before us," he said, "that's just the shell." He said, "The nut's already gone." The nut's already gone. Amen. Sometimes, you know, you really need to think things through a little deeper before you say them. We're having a little preacher's academy here. That's how you don't do it. Think through your analogy before you get up and use it. Amen. That's just the shell. The nut's already gone. Amen. But John said, "It doth not yet appear what we shall be." He said, we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Hallelujah. Whoa, hallelujah. Hey, that's what the rapture's going to be about. When Jesus appears in the clouds and we look up and we see him and we are immediately translated, transformed, and we become like him. Hallelujah. Glory. And in that moment, the masterpiece is entirely completed. Amen. Praise God. I'm just telling you tonight, he's a finisher. He didn't just make you a mess and leave you alone, but he wants to finish what he started. Somebody said, Brother, I've kind of made a mess of things in my life. You know what? He can fix it. I said, he can fix it. Not only he can, but he will. Not only he will, but he wants to. He's itching to get his hands on you here tonight and get started fixing things in your life that need to be rearranged and need to be fixed. And he can do it. He can transform things that you'll never be able to fix, not if you work on it 1,000 years. But God can do it tonight if you'll just give him a chance. I close with this illustration. It's a famous painting done by a man by the name of Hunt. You've probably seen it if you've seen much art, much religious art. It's a ivory covered cottage. Actually, it's in England and it's grown over, and the doors, you can tell, is kind of ancient, hadn't been used a lot. And standing in front of that door is a representation of Jesus Christ, and he's the resurrected Christ. He's crowned, and he's got a lantern in his hand, and with the other hand he's knocking on the door, and it's the representation of Revelation 3:20, when Jesus told the church in Laodicea, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me. So he's knocking on the door. Someone looked at the picture and said, Mr. Hunt's great picture, said, but you left something out. He said, what's that? He said, you didn't put a doorknob on the door. He said, I did. He said, it's just on the inside. You can't see it. He said, because nobody can open this door from the outside. You have to open it from the inside. And that's the truth tonight. We give the devil a lot more credit than he deserves. The devil made me do this. The devil made... He don't do anything unless you open the door and let him in. You hear what I said? The doorknob's on the inside. He can't do anything unless you open the door and let him in. Neither can Jesus Christ. He stands tonight as a gentleman knocking on the door. But if you'll open the door, he will come in. He will come in. He will come in. Amen. And he'll finish what he started. Amen. You know what? I could get a lot of witnesses here tonight of people that would stand to their feet and they would tell you hours and hours and hours what the Lord has done, the difference he's made in their life. Amen. Unprovoked. And I mean, we'd have to make them sit down because they could go on and on and on and on. Amen. And if he'll do it for them, he'll do it for you. He'll do it for you. Amen. Let's stand together, please. Amen. Would somebody tonight let the Lord finish what he started? He started making you a masterpiece. I said he started making you a masterpiece. Amen. And he's still working here tonight. He's wanting to resume what he started. It's not important tonight what happened after you left. What matters is that you're back. And I'm asking you tonight, somebody needs to open the door and let the Master begin to work again and create a masterpiece out of your life. Why don't you come? I'm opening this altar for prayer right now. Amen.